So personality-wise, would you say that you are a planner or an ad libber? You know, both have their strengths and weaknesses. Both have their pros, their cons. Which one you prefer to be is strictly up to you and what your personality type is like. Who you are more naturally. How many of you got new planner pages for 2016? Look around the crowd. You are planners. The rest of you that did not get a calendar or a planner, you're ad libbers. You just live by the moment. Now, planners, planning ahead gives you more control. Amen? Because you've got everything down just right. And yet, things happen in life, right? Without any prior arrangements to your schedule, life ends up happening. And it's okay for planners because they just kind of switch gears and check things up and go, okay, that's fine. That didn't disrupt my plan too bad. I can shift gears and I can get to my next appointment. It'll be okay. I'll make that up a little bit later. Your day becomes like a machine with each task as an individual gear. And every gear has its function. Planning is unarguably more efficient. For those who are workaholics, John, would you please raise your hand? Thank you very much, sir. It's good to acknowledge your sins before your brothers and sisters. Or for those of you who have a tendency of staying super active, you need to plan to find enough time in the day to get all the things done that you need to get done. However great planning is, and I'm a little biased, it does not have the one advantage that not planning has. Here you go, ad libbers. You ready? Not planning and going with the flow of things allows you to feel more alive. And in the moment, right? It places you into the reality and into the world outside of you. It gets you out of your own head. Those who plan do so because they've got a lot going on in their daily lives. And the more that you've got going on, the more you think about the way things are going and the more ignorant you are to the things going on outside of your head. I did not call you ignorant. I'm just saying you're ignorant to the things going on outside of your head because you've got, but non-planners have less craziness going on in their lives. And for this reason, they are able to spend more time reflecting on the environment, which means all the global warmers must be ad libbers. Right? Because they've got more time reflecting on their environment and less time reflecting on their own thoughts. Another perk that not planning brings is adventure. It brings spontaneity is the norm for those who don't plan. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Not planning can bring unexpected people into your life and can make great memories. Adversely, it can also make some bad memories. Getting lost, missing out, having boring nights because you couldn't find anything to do when you decided to go out at the last minute. Being thought of as somewhat unreliable. Ooh. Knowing that you can't always be held to your word. Well, the trick is to do a little of both. Planning and not planning. Personally, I plan a time slot when I don't plan. It works. I plan not to plan. Don't judge me. It's just the way I'm wired. And honestly, I lean more towards the ad libber, but I really see the advantages of being a planner. And especially as the head of a church, I have wrestled the last couple of weeks with planning out 2016, that where are we as a church going to go? What am I going to be teaching you? What do you need to have taught? It's a big responsibility. And it's been really heavy on my heart, my spirit. I've wrestled with God. And yeah, he's much bigger, smarter, knows all my moves. You know, I tried that quick release thing. You know, he is right there. He totally had me. I purposely didn't come into work on Wednesday because I just did not feel like I was getting any breakthrough between God and I, you know, with trying to keep up appearances and keep around here. I just had my own little staycation. And I had to just really seek God undivided as to, God, what do you have for Mountain Valley for 2016? I had even gone out to the bookstore and had gotten a pastor's source book for ideas. I mean, I was just feeling like I was at a dead-end street and there wasn't any way out of it. And yet I knew God would not fail his church, nor would he fail in giving us what he desires us to do in 2016. And so spending that time alone on Wednesday, I finally heard from God. It's like the breakthrough finally came. And I was so overwhelmed, so joyous, because I knew that God would be faithful to what he said he'd do. And he has always told me, you know, Don, you're not equipped for this job. And I go, boy, do I not know that. But I will equip you. And so this Wednesday, the answer came, and the answer is this. Beginning next Sunday, I'm going back to the book of Acts that I cut short during the year to bring on the One Cry sermon series. So I'm going to go back to the book of Acts, and the book of Acts I'm going to be starting back up at chapter 8 because I finished off on chapter 7 about Stephen being stoned. And for those of you who visit the marijuana medical facilities, that is not getting stoned. This is rocks hitting him and killing him stoned. Just thought I might need to, you know, just throw that out there so there's no misunderstandings between us. I want clear communication, kind of like I want from God. So chapter 8, we'll pick up what happens to the church after this day of persecution, this day of the first martyr going on. So let me ask you this question. If you were going to relate yourself to a biblical character, would you be a Joseph or a Samson? Now, what do I mean by that? Well, Joseph went and he became an advisor to Pharaoh. And God showed him, you know what? You need to store up 7 years of seed because there's a famine that's coming. Now that takes some planning, right? Whereas Samson, man, here come 3,000 Philistines, and they're out for my blood. Ain't got no sword. Left my pepper spray at home. Guess I'll just pick up this donkey jaw and see how many I can take out. 3,000 Philistines later, Samson stands victorious. You see, Samson was more of an ad libber. That Delilah chick. Woohoo! Hot number. I know, I'm not supposed to, you know, wed myself with somebody that's not a Jew, but come on. I'm Samson, after all. Who's going to tell me what to do? Joseph, betrayed by his own flesh and blood. And yet God had done that to move him into a place of prominence that he could help out an Egyptian ruler to become known as one of the wisest guys around. And famine hit, and because of that, all of Joseph's family came in. Maybe a couple of other biblical characters. Maybe you don't relate to either one of those. Are you a Cain or an Abel? You see, Cain just kind of sloppily went before God and he just gave whatever sacrifice that he felt was okay. Abel prepared a sacrifice. He planned ahead. And he took the best of his flock and he sacrificed it onto the Lord. Are you a Cain? You and Abel. Are you a Samson or are you a Joseph? The scriptures that I have this morning are Proverbs. This is a life verse for me. I love this passage. And I think if you look at it, it might become a life passage for each and every one of us. That's how strongly I feel about Proverbs 3. Verses 5 and 6. It's this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all of your ways acknowledge Him. And what will He do? He will direct your paths. Proverbs 16, verses 1 to 3 and verse 9 go along with that. To man belong the plans of the heart. But from the Lord comes the reply of the tongue. All a man's ways seem innocent to him, right? But motives are weighed by the Lord. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. What do you have to do to have your plan succeed? Commit to the Lord whatever you do. And your plans will succeed. In his heart, a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. There's an article here about Jeremiah Johnston. The title of the article is God's Silence is Not Always a Bad Thing. According to the Oxford English Dictionary, despair is defined as complete loss or absence of hope. I think my wife and I reached that point when we wanted to have children, but were unable to conceive. For nearly 5 years, we experienced God's deafening silence. Any of you have some kind of a issue in your life that you just feel like God's been deaf to your pleas? He's been silent. You haven't heard His answer yet. Keep going before the Lord. Just like the woman before the judge, God will hear. In December 2007, Audrey and I felt convicted to pray daily for the Lord to work miraculously and allow us to grow our family. We gathered each day and carefully prayed through our struggle. We came to the point of having total peace with God, no matter what He decided. In August of 2008, we were on a spiritual retreat and decided to study passages in the Bible related to trusting God. Trust and obey. Early one morning in October, Audrey took a home pregnancy test. Those pregnancy tests had become a reminder of no to us. After 5 years of no, my wife could barely walk through the aisle of a pharmacy without seeing a home pregnancy test, being reminded that nothing had worked. However, this October morning was different. I remember her running toward me, collapsing in my arms, and saying, "It said yes!" 9 months later, my wife gave birth to our child of promise. Lily Faith is her name. And she also now has a little brother named Justin. Stories like these remind us that we cannot see the hand of God. We must trust His heart and character. When I fail to understand why things are going the way they are in my life, I must remember that God sees the end from the beginning. And He wants me to trust Him. God uses this time of waiting to prepare us to receive the plans and the tasks that He has for us. He's refining our character and forging stronger reliance on and faith in Him so that then we will be prepared for what He wants us to do. Remember, you're not alone in the stillness. You're in good company. When you realize that Abraham, Joseph, and many of the great prophets all persevered and were eventually promoted through God's silence, you recognize you are not alone. You're not the first Christian facing this complicated position of maturing in your faith, yet sensing that God is further from you than you have ever experienced. The reality is God's silence is real. It's biblical. It's personal. It's common. And not always a bad thing. This principle is not something I learned in seminary. Rather, it was reality for me and my beloved wife, Audrey. These stories remind us that when we cannot see the hand of God, we must trust in His heart and His character. When we fail to understand why things are going the way they are in our lives, we must remember that God sees the end from the beginning, and all He wants is for us to trust and obey. Planner or ad libber? Your personality will dictate a lot of that. Here are some of your fill-ins. Planning ahead allows more control. More control. But life happens. You've got to recognize the fact that planning brings more control, but also life happens. All those plans that you have are somewhere in life, they're going to get kicked to the curb. And you've just got to go with the flow of what life brings you. You got to play with the cards that you're dealt. Not planning allows more freedom, but it also allows more opportunity for getting lost or missing out. Not planning allows more freedom, but also allows more opportunity for getting lost or for missing out. So, if you're a planner, That's great. Go with the strengths that God has given you. If you're an ad libber, celebrate your freedom. But understand that you might miss some opportunities in life. So then what's the answer? Well, the answer is this, and this is your third fill-in. Develop a plan with God's leading, and then work the plan. You see, some of us might get all excited, and we'll sit down and we'll plan out. We'll throw down a plan. How many of you have done this silly thing called New Year's resolution? You know, oh, I'm going to resolve this year. I'm going to study more. I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to get prettier. I'm going to grow more hair. Oh, yeah, it's coming. Just saying. Just because it ain't growing up here doesn't mean it can't grow in other places. No, I did not do that, did I? Develop a plan, but with God's leading. You see, commit unto God all your plans, and you will succeed. Once you get a plan, it's not good to have a plan and then not work it. So work the plan. Or you may find yourself feeling stuck. Oh, I've got a great plan. I'm going to lose 20 pounds this year. Go to the gym? No way, dude. Seriously? Go out walking? No. Are you kidding me? Cut down on the cinnamon rolls? You got to be kidding me. Come on. You guys are getting real heretical. You know? You guys are getting crazy on me. Give up my cinnamon rolls? And the Pepsi to wash it down with? Come on. No, I'm going to lose weight. How's that plan going to go? I'm not going to succeed. Develop a plan with God, then work the plan. Or you may find yourself feeling stuck. How many of you feel stuck this morning? Hello, how many of you feel stuck this morning? Yeah. Yeah. Jeremiah 29:11 says what? For I know the plans that I have for you, plans to prosper you, and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Right? When we call out to God with all of our heart, He will reveal His plans to us. And if He doesn't reveal them right away, then do what I did this week. Take time out to just be with God. Seek His face. How many of you can honestly deny a nagging child? Mommy, I want a cookie. No. Mommy, I want a cookie. No. Mommy, I want a cookie. No. Mommy, you see that cookie right there? Yeah. I want it. No. Why not, Mommy? Because I said no. Isaiah 46:10. I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. God says, my purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please. You see, we've got to develop a plan with God's leading. We've got to get back to that place where we trust in the Lord with all of our heart, and we don't lean on our own understanding, but in all our ways, we acknowledge Him and we allow Him to direct our paths. We don't walk down the path and go, God, will you please bless this way I'm walking? And God says, no, you're not walking in the plan, in the path that I chose for you. But God, I'm a really good person. I know what I'm doing here. Would you please bless my plan? And God says, no, you're not walking according to the way I want you to walk. I want you to go this way. And you go, what? What do you mean go that way? Some of you are feeling stuck. And this morning, if you're feeling stuck,
Here's a few good reasons why. It's because you don't know what you want. You don't really know what you want. Or you might be feeling stuck because you don't want to fail. Right? I have a daughter who's never wanted to fail on her plans. And so she would make plans, and then she'd make plan number two, and then she'd make plan number three. And then by the time she got around to things, she would look at all the different plans and see which one worked best for her. And the other two plans that she might have made with other people, well, those people were just disappointed. Because she went for the plan that she was feeling at the moment. Because she didn't want her plans to fail. So many of us, we fail to go anywhere with God because we won't allow Him to have the freedom to rule our life. And we think that we're going to fail. Well, guess what? If you put your life in God's hands, you will never fail. Maybe you're feeling stuck because you keep delaying. Well, I'll put that off next week. Hey, there's always manana. I'll get to it then. Maybe you're feeling stuck because you just won't speak up. You let other people just kind of run over your life. And you let their opinions about you decide who you are and what you're really about. Maybe you're stuck because you won't speak up. Maybe you're stuck because you feel like you're in over your head. Maybe you're not confident. Maybe you're not motivated. Yeah. I'll never amount to anything anyway, so I might as well just sit around and just live up to what people think I am. They think I'm just a crash and burn, so I'll make sure that I make their thoughts about me correct. I'll just keep crashing and burning. Then that way, I fulfill what they already think about me. Get unstuck. Which leads to the next thing. You feel like you're in a negative loop. Oh, I've tried that, but, you know, I failed at it. Well, I tried this, but, you know, I tried that diet plan, and I gained 10 pounds. You know? Maybe you're creatively blocked. You know, you haven't had a fresh idea since, well, let's not go there. You just haven't had a fresh idea for a long time. Maybe you need to take the car out, go about 50 miles an hour, roll your window down, and stick your head out the window, and see if a new idea blows through. I've tried it. Got a bug in my ear. I was no longer creatively blocked. Instead, I was all about getting that bug out of my ear. Maybe you're stuck because it's a relationship thing. I'm relying on these other people to develop who I am, to tell me who I am,
instead of listening to my Father, my Creator. Father, who do you say I am? And He would say back to you, what? You're my child. You're my prince, my princess. Don't listen to what people say. People are just messed up. They've got their own opinions. I see the beginning and I see the end. You are my child. Maybe you're feeling stuck because, and those of you who work in retail can really relate to this one right now, work is terrible. Maybe you're feeling stuck because you just can't see a way of getting out of that job that you just feel like is going nowhere and has no future for you. Submit your plans to God. God wants to prosper you, not to harm you. He wants to give you a hope and a future. Amen? Or maybe life is chaotic. Maybe you just got so much going on in life that you can't ever take time to just sit down and breathe with God. You haven't really sought out His counsel. You just keep on going on, keep on going on, keep on, and then you crash. Maybe life is too chaotic. Maybe you need to find that time purposely, setting aside time to plan or not to plan, but just to be quiet with the Lord. Maybe you're feeling stuck because something's changed. Huh, man, if everything was just the same, then I could rely on it being just like it always was, and then I'd be happy. Or maybe something's just not right. Maybe you're stuck this morning, and you'd like to get unstuck. Well, here's a few suggestions on how to get unstuck. Work like a human, not a workaholic. Whoa. What? But if I don't perform, then I'll get bad performance ratings. You know what? You need to prove yourself unto God. You need to work as working unto the Lord, but you know, which means I'm going to give you my best. But being a workaholic never solved anything. One of the worst condemnations, I guess, that I ever had in my life, one that just really cut me to the core, was I was a workaholic. Probably still am. I just won't admit it, because that would be weak. I was working at least 80 hours a week to provide a home, and our home, we had the pool of the neighborhood. And of course, my kids, they needed to have the best of stuff. I needed to work so that I could provide that car, that insurance, that the food, the entertainment, vacations. Oh, I needed to work so hard to provide all those things. And my girls, when they were in their early 20s, they said, "Dad, could we have a heart-to-heart with you?" And I don't know exactly where what we were doing or what was going on. Don't remember all the instances of what was happening. But they said this very condemning statement to me, "Dad, we could have done a lot less with things and more about you being around, being our dad." Wow. Work like a human, not a workaholic. Welcome play into your life. You know, if you don't have some joy in your life, get out and play. Have some fun. Go dribble a basketball, if nothing else.
Yeah, but
just can't dribble that. It's okay. Just play. No, nobody has those judgments upon you except you. You accept judgments on yourself by what other people say. Don't listen. Just play. Have a good time. God's great gift to us is not just His love, but joy. Are you enjoying life?
Some of you are enjoying life a little bit too much, I'm just saying.
But have some joy in your life. Don't be always so dead set serious. If you're too serious, come hang out with me. I will cut you up in a minute. Because I enjoy having fun and laughing. Look intentionally for a fresh perspective. Read a new book. Talk to someone new. Go somewhere new. Do some different activity. Get a fresh perspective. Climb a mountain. You'll get a real good perspective there. Or if not, join Eric and I as we drive up Mingus Mountain on our bikes. Good perspective. Become more thankful. You know, a lot of you are stuck because you're just not thankful to other people. Develop an attitude of gratitude, just like Pastor John preached about around Thanksgiving time. Be more thankful. Here's a great way to get yourself unstuck. Find someone you can help. Find someone you can help, that you can minister to. There is far too many gifts and abilities that are being unused here. Find someone you can help. Learn something fresh and new. And the biggest way to get unstuck is stop procrastinating. I'll do that manana next week. Are you a planner? Or are you an ad libber? Depends upon your personality. But trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all of your ways. Acknowledge Him. And He will direct your paths. Let's make 2016 an exciting time in the life of Mountain Valley, in your life. When you plan, be smart. Don't add too many changes. And this is an acronym, or an acrostic rather, for the word SMART. Your last fill-ins, you ready? Specific. Specifically identify what you want to accomplish. This is how you can plan SMART. Specifically identify what you want to accomplish. Measurability. Be able to quantify your results. In other words, if I want to lose 10 pounds, how am I going to quantify my results? Well, I'm going to step on the weight scale, and I'm going to challenge myself to watch that thing go down, not go up, right? That's measurable. Action. Start every plan with an action verb. Not I will or I want to, but rather I am going to do this. And nextly, that's my last one. Sorry. Reality. A goal should stretch you and be attainable. And lastly, time bound. Have a date when you'll reach your plan. So work smart. Specifically, measurability, action, reality, time bound. Time bound. Have a date when you want to reach your plan. And then I put this down as a suggestion at the bottom of your bulletin. Plan to read the Bible. Maybe a new version this year. It brings a fresh perspective. It brings a freshness to your reading. Pray. But don't just pray alone. Pray with others. Find a prayer partner for 2016, and it will magnify your prayer life. Serve. Find a way to serve others in your life. And testify. Testify more this year as we prepare for Christ's return.